The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, to begin this guided meditation, just taking a moment to settle in. Maybe a few deep breaths. Sometimes exaggerated breaths help us to connect to our experience. And it might be that a little bit longer exhale also supports the settling process. Letting the breath return to normal. And perhaps feeling the sensations of sitting. Maybe when the body is touching the floor, touching the chair or cushion, feeling the sensations on the back and the backside. Can we bring an aliveness of attention? This mindfulness of the sensations in the body. Inhabiting the body with presence. Perhaps you want to check in with the face and see how it feels right now. And the shoulders. The chest, maybe you notice there's a little bit of holding, some tension, and maybe with the recognition there's just a little bit more letting go or relaxing. Can you feel that? Just that little bit of letting go. In the belly. The arms. The hands. I'm just being with this experience of the bodily life right now. Allowing it, receiving it, opening to it. And then allowing the attention to rest on the sensations of breathing. Feeling the expansion and contraction, the stretching, the pulling, perhaps, as the body breathes. Is it possible to set the sense of direction for our practice together as one of kindness, as a movement of kindness? Holding yourself in care, holding yourself in a kind attitude and warmth. Putting down in the idea this has to be a self-improvement project. Just being with the sensations of breathing. To read some different translations. Nothing you have to do with this. You don't have to reach out and grab them or try to figure them out. Here's the first one. This is the way. There is no other that leads to the purifying of intelligence. Go on this path. This is the confusion of Mara. If you go on this way, you will make an end of pain. The way was preached by me when I had understood the removal of the thorns. Read it again. This is the way. There is no other that leads to the purifying of intelligence. Go on this path. This is the confusion of Mara. If you go on this way, you will make an end of pain. The way was preached by me when I had understood the removal of the thorns. Here's the second translation. This is the path. There is no other that leads to the purification of the mind. Follow this path and conquer Mara. This path will lead to the end of suffering. This is the path I made known after the arrows of sorrow fell away. I'll read it again. This is the path. There's no other that leads to the purification of the mind. Follow this path and conquer Mara. This path will lead to the end of suffering. This is the path I made known after the arrows of sorrow fell away. And then the third and last translation. This is the path for purifying one's vision. There is no other. Follow it. You will bewilder Mara. Follow it. You will put an end to suffering. This is the path I have proclaimed, having pulled out the arrows. Again, this is the path. For purifying one's vision, there is no other. Follow it, you will bewilder Mara. Follow it, you will put an end to suffering. This is the path I have proclaimed, having pulled out the arrows. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. And when you're ready,
you can gently open your eyes. So now I'll share my screen so you can see, you can read the words. It's that, you know, of course, a different way in which we might engage with the texts. And maybe you can talk about what it was like to have these different translations. And maybe I'll say a few words about each trans. Oh, no, maybe before I do that, we can talk. Here we go. Can you see this? Can you? Yes, Kim's giving me the thumbs up. So I'll scroll down just a little bit. This is translations of Dhammapada verses 274 and 275 for those of you who are interested in this. And I'm not showing the translators yet. I just have them as A, B, and C. And you can see, I'm trying to scroll this. I'm in a little difficulty here. You can see that there's some differences, obviously. Just looking at it, the obvious one is here. C is written in more what we think of as verse, whereas A and B aren't. In the Pali, it's in verse form. It's like a standard form that things have with verse. And we can send this to you, so you don't have to memorize it or look at it or anything, or, you know, have it all figured out or anything. But there's a reason why I chose these three translators. This one, translation A, done by Max Müller. First translation into English. I think it's the first translation in 1871. So this is, you can see when Buddhism was first coming to the West, this is how we were thinking about it, to purifying the intelligence and make an end of pain. And this way was preached by me. Like, we wouldn't necessarily use these types of words now. And yeah. B is a translation by Eknath Eswaran. This, for a while, was the number one selling translation of the Dhammapada. Interesting thing about Eknath Eswaran is that he's also one of the best known translators of the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads. So he's not Buddhist. He's more is just, I think he's an Indian person, or he died in 1999, but that he translates just sacred texts from other traditions. And actually, his practice, now I remember, is a unique combination of different traditions. And then this third one is Gil Fromsdahl, that was translated in 2006, just much more recently. And then maybe before I open it up just for comments in general, I'll say two things. One is the Dhammapada. This is like one book. It's one little, we can think of it as a little book, a collection of verses that's in all of the Pali canon. And it's the most translated portion of the Pali canon. It's the most, it's, I don't know, one time I knew of 24 different translations, 24 different translators had done this. So, and it's nice because it has these nice little statements. Then the second thing I want to say, and both Kim and I have kind of worked with this, that to translate verse is really difficult in Pali. Partly it's kind of like if somebody, I don't know if this is a good analogy, but somebody who's a native Chinese speaker trying to translate Shakespearean English. So like the grammar is a little bit different, the language is a little bit different. And like, so in verse, there's a,
there's all these rules that constrain the Pali, and they have a vocabulary that's, you know, poetic words, just like we have in English. So both the vocabulary and the grammar and the structure, it's just really difficult. So this is why we can see really wide different translation choices. And they're all legitimate. Well, I don't know. I haven't evaluated all of them. But just because verse is difficult to translate, there's lots of room for interpretation. It requires lots of interpretation. Okay, so with that as kind of a long explanation, I'm going to stop sharing my screen for a little bit so I can see you all. And then I'd like to open it up to some comments or questions, or what was that experience like? And what does it bring up for you? And Preeti?
I have a comment and then a question. So firstly, it was a really interesting thing, guided meditation, and just to kind of like, it's just of listening, but also how each of these translations just energetically registered, and they all had different qualities to it. So it was just really interesting to just work with that. So that's my comment. And then my question is, going back to something that Kim talked about as ways of working with suttas, and with regards to chanting, and that's interesting. And I hadn't, you know, so I've been working with chanting practice just as a way to start the day, and, you know, have my little chant book. But just I'm wondering if either you could speak to how do you incorporate suttas into chanting? Do you just pick certain passages from the text, or could you just speak more to how you do that, I guess. Are there certain suttas that you recommend, or I don't know, how do I get started?
It's a great question. There are actually, I wouldn't know how to do it with a sutta that hasn't already been set to chant, in a sense. So there is actually a fairly long monastic tradition of chanting certain suttas or other chants that have been derived from suttas. For example, there's one about radiating the four Brahma Viharas. It's just a section of text that's pulled out of suttas. But there are also suttas that have been set to chant, such as the Mangala Sutta, the Metta Sutta, a variety of them. I think there's a couple others. So one sort of short, easy way is to download the chant books of various monasteries. So for example, the Bayagiri Monastery has a chant book online, as does Aloka Vihara Monastery. That's a nun's monastery, and they've made a few modifications to make it a little more gender balanced. And I think there are also ones from some of the ones in England, like Amaravati and so forth. They have their chant books online. And often you can find recordings there. I know for sure on the Abhayagiri website, they have recordings. So you can, it's very probably essential at first that you hear it done, and then you can imitate on your own or join them, I suppose, if it's just a recording. So I recommend that as a way to start. There's quite a lot out there already. Diana, do you have more to say? I see that Sam has put the Abhayagiri chanting book there. Great, thank you.
The one thing I'll add is that it's amazing what's on YouTube these days. So I have found lots of people chanting like the Satipatthana Sutta, and it was like just so beautiful. And so that's could be, I don't have a specific site to point people to, but YouTube also is a resource. Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to say, like Kim said, that some translations grab you more than others. And I really like the second one because it uses the word conquer. And I'm always drawn to the ones that use warrior language. So I just wanted to put that out there. That's why I like that one.
Great. Thank you, Bess. Thank you. Anybody else have a comment? Like, what was it like to hear three different ones? Sheila.
Oh, and Stephen had his hand up too.
Oh, did it? Okay, sorry. I missed that.
So I found all three of them interacting with me in different ways, but also in the same way. I really loved the thorns, right? That really went, I felt that physically, actually, that thorns, and understood the pain of suffering, right, with the thorns. And whether it was the mind or the intellect, all three approached that in a little bit of a different way. And the message at the end of the three, the message for me was, even though the language was different, the key message was still the same, and how in some ways sort of magical that message continues to resonate within us, irregardless of the language, right? It just seems so magical that it's reaching us in such a deep way. So thank you.
Nice. Thank you, Sheila. Reaching us in such a deep way. Yes, great. Thank you. And Stephen?
The experience was a bit different from Dawn, maybe, because there was a direct relationship in working through the three to go from listening to the words prompting thought and questioning about meaning to then moving more toward directly understanding the essence of what's being communicated. And so while meditating, I actually found the first one to be the most distracting because it prompted, you know, this thinking, well, no, what's that mean? How to interpret those words? And then the second one was a little bit easier to understand, but nonetheless, it still prompted that. Whereas in listening to the third, it was compatible with, you know, trying to get settled in meditation because it was easy to understand. It was directly expressed. And I think that it speaks to the essence of meaning more clearly than the others.
Diana, you're muted.
What? You can't read my lips? I know both David and Claire, but I don't know who is first.
Claire, you go first.
Thank you. First, I just want to say thank you. I thought that was so cool. I've never in all my years of practice done this, either listened to suttas side by side or read suttas side by side in a meditative context. I found it just, I was able to, I guess, understand it on such a deeper level. So thank you. I think that was really cool. And I also love that we got to see all three because kind of like Stephen, the first one was so confusing to me. I was like, why are they... Like they're talking about Mara, but is this a good thing to say that there's one way or is it a bad thing? So I was so confused and just like got questioning myself. And then the second one, I was like, okay, now I get it. This was really direct. And then the third one I felt was almost like a poem. So it was even more like stripped down and direct. But I think if I just listened to the third one on its own, it wouldn't have had the same like richness. So I just thought it was such a cool experience. So
Thank you, Claire. Yeah, one of the advantages I think that you're pointing to is that there can be like a fullness if we hear different translations. We have our preferences probably, but there can be a fullness of understanding if we hear different translations and richness. Yeah, thank you. And then David, and then that's probably the last one that we'll do before we go for a break. Yes, sir, David.
Okay, hi. So the experience of listening to the suttas as doing the guided, I noticed that what was happening on mind was a lot of like the liking, disliking mind was fully engaged, especially when I heard the introduction about how the different translations can have such a major effect. So I was really my mind was very engaged in finding preference about what I liked and didn't like in the guided. And then also even more so when I saw the actual poems written on the screen. It was an interesting experience, but you know, that sort of liking, disliking mind was really, really active. And in terms of preferences, the result of all that liking, disliking mind, I like elements of the B and elements of C for differing reasons. So my mind was really kind of assembling and reassembling the information and trying to come to some understanding with it. But it was an interesting experience. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, and there have been some, I'll use this word, translators who don't actually know Pali, but they know, oh, I like this from this translator and this from this translator, and they make their own little translations. They kind of mix and match from different English versions. And but we're all kind of fight our way with this. Kim, do you have something you'd like to say?
I guess I would just say that These comments are great. And I notice a little sense of, you know, of course we prefer when we can kind of just rest and it comes in meditatively and it feels like it's a direct experience. But actually we're learning about our mind in engaging with the teachings. It's the same as talking with somebody about the Dharma, for example, and you get all the like and dislike, and also even the intellectual engagement with the suttas over time, there's a way in which, if we keep engaging that way, suddenly patterns may appear. You don't see it with maybe just one little verse, but after we've read lots and lots of suttas, for example, we start to suddenly realize, oh, suttas are made by cutting and pasting little pieces of different things. And you start saying, wait a minute, I've heard that little section. Where does that come from? That's an intellectual understanding to gain. And yet you start to see that the suttas have a structure to them. And that's very important. So I think you don't even need to worry too much about how your mind was engaging, except to notice it, you know, just let that be part of your mindfulness. It's all good. There's many different channels and doorways, and the suttas will find their way in the way that works for you. So with that, why don't we have a little break? We know that 2-hour class is a long time. So why don't we just have a little bio break until 10 after the hour? Why don't we come back then? See you then.